Usher, the Buddha, the emptiness of the heart, talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 7.
Beloved Bhagwan, Choi Tzu said to Zen, in the school of the ancestral teachers, we point directly to the human mind. Verbal explanations and illustrative devices actually miss the point. Not falling into seeing and hearing, not following sound or form, acting freely in the phenomenal world, sitting and lying in a heap of myriad forms, not involved with phenomena in breathing out, not bound to the clusters and elements of existence in breathing in, the whole world is the gate of liberation. All worlds are true reality. A universal master knows what it comes to the moment it is raised. How will beginners and latecomers come to grips with it? If you don't get it yet, for the time being, we open up a pathway in the gateway of the secondary truth. Speak out where there is nothing to say. Manifest form in the midst of formlessness. Choi Tzu continued, during your daily activities, responding to circumstances in the realm of distinctions, don't think of getting rid of anything. Don't understand it as a hidden marvel, with no road of reason, no flavor, day and night, forgetting sleep and food. Keep those sayings in mind. If you still don't get it, we go on to speak of the tertiary, expounding mind and nature, speaking of mystery and marvel. One atom contains the cosmos. One thought pervades everywhere. Thus an ancient said, infinite lands and worlds with no distinctions between self and others. 10 ages, past and present, are never apart from this moment of thought.
Minister. The whole point of Zen, its whole philosophy, its whole theology, is contained in the present moment. If you can stay in the present moment, the doors of wisdom will open on their own. In thousand ways, the same thing has been said again and again. This moment contains everything, the whole universe, past, present and future. This moment is all. If we can enter into this moment's reality, we will be entering to the very center of the universe, to the very source of life, and hence interest is not in God, not in paradises. Its interest is absolutely the life known in its eternity with all its joy and celebration. It is a religion of celebration. It is not sad, serious, because it is not going to achieve anything. It cannot fail. Its victory is absolutely certain, because what it is seeking is already there within you. It is everybody's life source. Combined, it becomes the life source of the whole universe. We are just small branches coming out of the universal source. The moment you realize your universality, all your anxieties appear to be so trivial, so tiny, that just the very realization of your eternity makes them disappear. They become shadows the moment you realize your life source. They lose their reality. In other words, your anxieties, your problems, your anguish is real if you don't know yourself. Then that is your life if you don't know your life source. What in the West has come to be known as existentialism must have been preceded in the East of Gautam Buddha. Because existentialism says life is nothing but anguish, anxiety, and it has no meaning. There is only failure. That is your destiny. It gives a very dark colors, very negative approach to existence. Listening to the modern existentialism, one can only feel that perhaps suicide is the only way out. Life in every possible way is going to be anxiety. My own understanding is, before the times of Gautam Buddha, in the East, there must have been the same kind of feeling that life is meaningless. At least I know three names who were very famous in those days, but their whole literature has been destroyed because their whole point of view was against life. One was Sanjay Belakhiput, the other was Ajit Keskambal, and the third was Gosar. These three people were as intelligent as any Gautam Buddha, but they preached that life is meaningless. All the meaning that you give to it is your imagination. It is just a hope that keeps you going on through all the suffering, through all the meaningless incidents, and from the cradle to the grave you will not find a single place where you can rest. It is just restlessness. But with Gautam Buddha, it took a different turn, a turn which is enormous. West needs a Gautam Buddha, otherwise the idea of meaninglessness, anxiety, anguish is bound to create the idea of suicide is the way out. Gautam Buddha accepts everything that existentialism says, but he says it is meaningless, full of anxiety, because you have not gone deeper enough into your being. On the surface is all turmoil, just as you see in the ocean. On the surface there is so much turmoil, but deep there is absolute silence. Deeper you go into the ocean, the more silence. Absolute silence. And with attaining the absolute silence, you start looking at things with different eyes. The same things, the world is the same, but because now you have different eyes, you start seeing in a different way. The same rose flowers become so beautiful that there is no need for it to have any purpose. Just its beauty is enough unto itself. The song of a cuckoo may not have any meaning, but it has a beauty, a grandeur, which penetrates to the very heart, and if the heart is emptied by meditation, it gives you a glimpse of authentic music, spontaneous music, everything around you starts taking a different shape, a different context. The only change that is needed is that you should go from the surface to the center of your being. Now this point is very important to understand, because few have escaped the surface by renouncing the world. They think it is the world that is creating disturbance. It is the world that is responsible for our anxieties. That has been the traditional attitude of the sannyasi, of the monk. Just leave this world. Hide behind a monastery or behind a mountain. Just to attain a little peace. But I know that even hiding behind a mountain, your mind will be the same as it was in the marketplace. It will create troubles and anxieties there too, perhaps more than ever. Because the cold winter will come and you don't have clothes enough. And the hot summer will come and you don't have a roof, a shelter. And from where you are going to get your food, again you will have to come from the back door. As a beggar to the same marketplace that you have renounced. All these so-called saints who have renounced the world have simply become dependent on the world. Parasites but they have not attained any new vision. So the way that takes you away from the turmoil is not the right way. The right way is go into the turmoil as deep as possible, because in the depths there are no waves, no turmoil. Maya sannyasin is not to renounce anything in the world. Everything is beautiful. If it does not appeal to you, something is wrong with you. Go inside and first seek and search the source of your being, of your life. Once you have caught the roots of your being, then come out and open your eyes and you will see the same world but with a new color, with a new intensity, with a new love, with a new beauty. The same world is no more the same, because you are no more the same. By transforming yourself, you have transformed the whole world. It is absolutely right when Gautama Buddha says that the moment I became enlightened, the whole world became enlightened. Because everything to me appeared to be either Buddha awake or asleep. I could see even in flowers or grasses or stones fast asleep Buddha. The whole existence is by its very nature nothing but consciousness. And consciousness can be of different depth. The stone may be very fast asleep, you cannot wake it. But that does not mean that hidden in the stone there is a life source, because the stone grows. The Himalaya is growing every year 1 feet taller. Just a stupid fellow. Already it is the tallest mountain in the world. But the same stupidity that human beings live, it goes on growing. Older mountains in India, the oldest mountain is Vindhyachal. Have started growing millions of years before, seeing that there is no point. What you are going to do, unnecessarily growing high, just enjoy. You cannot enjoy while you are involved in achieving something. When you are not involved in achieving, when there is no desire to reach somewhere, you can enjoy the moment here, now. Zen is the religion of here and now. Always remember this context in whatever statement we are discussing. It is a totally different approach from other religions. Even the Buddhists don't accept Zen. Because Zen has such rebelliousness, such independence, that it cannot accept any authority. Except it is the authority of your own experience. Even Buddhists think of Zen as a little eccentric, out of caste, not belonging to the vast stream of Buddhism. But as far as I am concerned, it is the essence of Buddha's very heart. Without Zen, Buddhism is as dead a religion as any other religion. It is Zen which still brings flowers. It is Zen which is still a garden. All the other religions have become deserts. But why it goes on bringing flowers? Because its dependence is not on scripture and tradition. Its very world is limited within you. And if you change, the world around you has to change accordingly. A man like Gautam Buddha, just being awakened, changes the character of everything around him. His vision, his radiance, his presence, at least for him, it is a different world. These small statements by Zen masters have to be very carefully heard. You are not to agree or disagree. Because if you start agreeing or disagreeing, you miss the point. Listen silently as if you are listening to the sound of a river or the sound of the wind blowing through the pine trees. Just hear it without bringing your mind in to say, yes, it is right, or no, it is not right. Any statement or interpretation on your mind is going to discard the whole thing, because the statement is not linguistic. It is not the language. It is something invisible side by side with the language that is being transmitted. So if you silently hear, the language does not matter. Your silence grows deeper. That's what matters. What the language was saying is immaterial. It was just a vehicle. Just few days before, Anand brought me the news. I have never thought it, and I don't think anybody has ever thought about it. They have just discovered that electricity does not run in the wire, but by the side, along the wire, a fellow traveler, not inside the wire. It takes the help of the wire, but this is a very significant discovery, that electricity is not in the wire itself. To me, it takes a new significance. The words of the master are not the real message. The words are just like the wires of electricity. Alongside the wire runs a message invisible to the eye, but only capable to be understood by an empty heart. Sit silently in utter emptiness. Your agreement or disagreement are not needed. just your silence deepening, your emptiness becoming more and more emptier, and you have understood without even bothering about the words. Those words were all arbitrary. First to set to sit Zen in the school of the ancestral teachers, we point directly to the human mind. Verbal explanations and illustrative devices actually miss the point. The question is how to indicate you the way to your own heart. First is saying that verbal explanations and illustrative devices actually miss the point most of the time. Once in a while, if a person has understood that it is not language or philosophy, but the words are used only just like a wire, alongside is running a life and energy, and that energy can be absorbed only by our empty heart. If the heart is full of things, too much furniture, life energy will not enter into a space which is too much full. It enters only into utter emptiness. First we say, we point directly to the human mind. What we are doing here, I talk with you, but that is only a preparation. So that in meditation I can point directly to your heart. A certain preparation is absolutely needed to cut all garbage, to throw out all the scriptures, to expel all the ancient Buddhas and Siddhas, so that you are left absolutely alone. From that point, meditation can start. And when your heart is utterly empty, it is not difficult to point to the source of your being. Not falling into seeing and hearing, not following sound or form, acting freely in the phenomenal world, sitting and lying in the heap of myriad forms, not involved with phenomena in breathing out, not bound to the clusters and elements of existence, in breathing in, the whole world is the gate of liberation. All worlds are true reality. If you have concentrated your life energy in the empty heart, then all that is false simply disappears and only the real remains. Then the whole world is real. Then there is no need to say that it is illusory. It has been said to be illusory by those escapists who wanted to run away from it. They needed some excuse. They called this whole world, all the relationships, everything illusory, just like dreams. And I have always wondered, I have been meeting with many escapists, saints, and I have asked them that if you really see that this world is illusory, made of the same stuff as dreams are made of, why you are escaping from it? What is the point? The world does not exist according to you. You are renouncing a non-existential world. If the world does not exist, then why not enjoy it? Have good, nice dreams. Drop nightmares. Sort out things. Whatever is a nightmare, drop it out. And that is what happens when a man reaches to his center. That which is a nightmare, and your whole life up to now has been a nightmare, simply disappears. And a tremendously beautiful world arises out of the ashes of the old world that you used to know. It looks the same, but because your vision is different, it is not the same. Not a single saint I have met and I have been roaming around for almost 35 years and I have met almost all kinds of saints, Hindu, Jaina, Mohammedan, Christian, and not a single one has been able to answer a simple question. If the world is illusory, then it does not matter. Let it be there. Where are you going? Escaping from a world that is illusory is so stupid an act. If the world was real, there was some point in escaping from it if you don't want it. But it is illusory. And if illusions arise out of your mind, wherever you go, illusions will arise. A great saint was dying, and he said to his successor, a young man, that remember one thing, never allow a gap in your life. And he died. A great crowd has gathered to listen to the last statement of a great saint. And what a sentence! Never allow a gap in your life. The sister says, my God, why should I allow a cat in my life in the first place? And this is the whole religion. But an old man who was also a disciple but was not chosen as a successor because he was too old. He was himself going to die within a year or two. He said, you don't know. It is a long story behind it. He has just given you the punchline. He said, then I must know the whole story. The story was that when the dying saint renounced his wife and children and his home and went into the Himalayas, he lived nearby a small village. Otherwise, from where you will get your food? But the villagers were happy that they have a saint of their own. So they made a small bamboo cottage for him. The Indian monks used in place of underwear just a long strip a cloak called langot. It is a mini because just a long strip, the round put it around themselves. All that was allowed were two langos. But a trouble arose. Some rats came into the house and they started chewing on the langos. The man was in a great difficulty. He had only two langos and soon they will be gone. So he asked the villager what to do because my sect does not allow the saint to have more than two langos. That's the only possession. They said, why don't you take a cat from the village? he will kill the rest. It was perfect rational solution. So the villagers gave him a good cat, and the cat killed the rat. But the problem was now, he has to beg for his food, and the cat also needed something to eat because the rats were finished. There was a limit. So he has to beg some milk for the cat. The villagers said that this is a small village. The best thing we would like, you can have a cow. The whole village can contribute some money and purchase a beautiful cow. In that way you will become very independent. You can have enough milk for yourself and for your cat. It looked right. So a beautiful cow was brought in. Now the problem was, the cow needed grass. So every day he has to go to the village to beg for the grass. People said, this does not look right, a great sin, asking for grass. In fact, no saint has ever asked for grass. It is not conventional. He said, but what to do? My cow, my cat. So this said a simple solution. We are villagers, we don't know much about your philosophy. One woman has become a widow. Her husband has died. And she has nobody. So we will persuade her. She will be really happy to serve the saints. And then you don't have to come every day. We will clean some ground by the side of your hut so she can grow grass, she can grow wheat, and she will take care of you in sickness and illness. The idea was right. It was always right. There was not much effort as far as persuading the woman was concerned. She was alone. And the saint was young. There was a possibility, a hope. So she immediately agreed. She started taking care. And as you know, how things grow. Basu says, the grass grows by itself. In fact, many things grow by themselves. So grass started growing. They fell into love. woman was beautiful, the saint was young. What more is needed? They worked in the field, they started growing wheat and they started growing grass, and the cat was very happy, and the cow was very happy. Everything was going perfect. But then the ultimate problem. Children came in. And then he thought, my God, that's what I had left behind. I have renounced the world. This is the whole world again. It grew so slowly that I was not aware until the children came. Now, just because of the cat, the whole world came in. The old man said, that was the punchline. He told you, remember not to allow a cat, because behind the cat the whole world comes in. He was talking about his own life story, how he became again engaged in the same world, taking children to the school. And people started laughing at him, that what kind of saint you are. You are keeping a woman. You have fallen down from your greatness. But what to do now? Once you have fallen, you have fallen. It is very difficult to rise again. He thought many times to renounce again, but he thought, what is the point? Those rats, they are everywhere. Again the same story will start. It is better to be silent your mind, your body, both need certain things. You cannot renounce the world. You can only become a beggar. But to become a beggar is not becoming a saint. My understanding is clear that you should be in the world. There is nothing to be afraid of. Just you should concentrate your life energy within yourself, and that makes all the difference. You remain in the world and yet you are not in the world. You are in the world, but the world is not in you. And to me, that is the true definition of a sannyasi. Remaining in the world just like a lotus flower. Remaining in the water but untouched by it. A universal master knows what it comes to. The moment it is raised, How will beginners and latecomers come to grips with it? If you don't get it yet, for the time being we open up a pathway in the gateway of the secondary truth. I don't agree on that point. Kaistu is saying that if you cannot understand the direct pointing to your heart, then we have to descend a little lower. But that will be secondary truth. That will be just like moon reflected in water. It will not be the true moon, it will be only a reflected moon. In language, truth at the most can just be a reflection. So he is saying that if you cannot get it directly, instantly, then we will have to come down to language. I don't agree with the point, because my understanding is you have to begin with language. You have to begin with the reflection of the moon in the water. And if you have seen the reflection in the waters, you can be told to look a little up. It is only a reflection. The reality is there high up in the sky. Language is not a secondary thing when the first has failed. Language is the primary thing. To create the background for pointing directly to your innermost heart. Speak out where there is nothing to say. Manifest form in the midst of formlessness. Kaistu continues, during your daily activities, responding to circumstances in the realm of distinctions, don't think of getting rid of anything. On that point, I am in agreement with him. Don't think of getting rid of anything. Don't understand it as a hidden marvel with no road of reason, no flavor, day and night, forgetting sleep and food. Keep those sayings in mind. If you still don't get it, we go on to speak of the tertiary, the third step. If you don't understand the language, he says, then we will have to descend a little more lower. I think that I not only disagree with him, but it is humiliating to the disciples to say that we will have to speak on a third level, expounding mind and nature, speaking of mystery and marvel, one atom contains the cosmos, one thought pervades everywhere, thus an ancient said, infinite lands and worlds, with no distinctions between self and other, 10 ages past and present are never apart from this moment of thought. First who is putting the bullock behind the cart? Of course, there will not be much progress. The bullock has to be in front of the car. The words, the language, have to be a primary preparation for the ultimate understanding of your life source, there is only one way, and that is directly pointing to your heart. There are not some lower ways, some higher ways. There is only one way. He's saying that we will try the second way, and even if that does not work, we will go still lower. This is happening because he is putting things wrong way. The bullocks have to be ahead the car, and then everything is okay. Language, concepts, words, all have to be used as preparing a ground for emptiness. And you know by experience here that it works. I am talking to you, I am using words and concepts. Still a great silence is being created within you. This silence can be deepened by meditation. And when you are deep in meditation, silent, just a watchful witness, the direct pointing by the Master can happen. I don't have to explain it to you, because you go through the process every day. A Zen poet, Kanzan, wrote, talking about food won't make you full, babbling of clothes won't keep out the cold, a bowl of rice is what fills the belly, it takes a suit of clothing to make you warm. And yet, consider, yet without stopping to consider this, you complain that Buddha is hard to find. Turn your mind within, there he is, Why look for him abroad? This small haiku says much more than poets, and clearly two things. Talking about food won't make you full. Babbling of clothes won't keep out the cold. A bowl of rice is what fills the belly. It takes a suit of clothing to make you warm. And yet, without stopping to consider this, you complain that Buddha is hard to find. Turn your mind within. There he is. Why look for him abroad? You have been looking for him outside for centuries, for many, many lives. It is time to give a chance to your interiority. Look for him within words. And what you have not found outside, you will find without fail inside. Because nobody in the whole history of consciousness has failed to find the Buddha if he has looked within words. Without any exception, everybody who has looked in has found the Buddha. You cannot be an exception. You cannot be, because life itself in its purity is Buddha. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, when we function from the periphery, when we function out of unawareness, it seems that our energy gets caught up somehow, and so our maximum energy is not available. Is it true that when we function from our emptiness, we would have access to unlimited energy? Manisha, what you are asking is almost true. Just on one point you have to be reminded that when your energy is not involved in anything, your last sentence is, we could have access to unlimited energy. When your energy is not involved in anything, you will not be there. So the question of your access to unlimited energy does not arise. You will be ultimate energy. It will not be something that will be available to you. You would have merged with it. You will be it. Never think in terms of separation. It is just one experience. You and the cosmos becoming one. There is no need. The whole cosmos is you. So never think in terms of success, achievement. Those words are wrong words, but they are perfectly usable in the ordinary world, in the ordinary world matters. But as you enter in, you are entering into a different dimension of being where you have never been. All your words will defy you. Whatever you will experience will not be possible to express it. And finally, there will be no one to express it. The ultimate experience is when you disappear. When there is nobody but your awareness. It will not be your awareness or my awareness. It will be simply awareness. Before we enter into the meditation, Sardar Gurdayal Singh has to be given a chance Popova, the Russian mouse, gets a visa to visit the West. Her friend Barbaro, the elephant, hears the news and wants to go along too. After a little hesitation, Popova agrees to take her friend with her. The little mouse bakes a beautiful loaf of French bread. It slices it in half down the middle and puts one half along either side of his barbaroque. At the Moscow airport, the police officials check Popova's papers and her baggage and then wave her through Barbaroque. The elephant is stopped. "Where are your papers?" asks a policeman. Popova, the mouse, turns around really pissed off. "What is the matter with you guys?" He squeaks loudly. "Can't I even take a sandwich with me?" Swami Jivan Jog is sitting with his girlfriend, Ma Bliss Abyss, at the big back gate. "Is not it wonderful? Whose Bliss Abyss? This is our third anniversary of being together, and everything is so spiritual. It is." Asked Jivan Jog, chasing and trying to learn how to smoke a bidi, sure, smiles bliss abyss, winking at several of her new boyfriends. We have been together for 3 years and now we are experimenting with the other side, being apart and free. Ah, that, says Joe, twitching nervously and trying to stay centered. Yes, giggles bliss abyss, and with all this energy and all these new friends, my God, says Jivan Joke, are you ovulating again? No, silly, replies bliss abyss, but since tonight is our anniversary, what shall we do? Well, says Joke, closing his eyes and trying to meditate, let us do it like everyone else I know is doing. Let us go in and celebrate. General Jakas, now retired, is walking down the street one day when he sees Donald Dickstein. Donald used to serve as the general's valet during the last war. General Jakas is very happy to see Donald and, shaking hands, tells Donald that he is looking for someone to take the job as his personal butler. You will have exactly the same duties you had with me in the army, smiles the general. You can begin by waking me up tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Donald takes the job, and the following morning he rushes into the general's bedroom and shakes him until he wakes up. Then he slaps the general's wife on the ass and shouts, "Okay, baby, here is your $20. It is time to go home."
Feel the body to be completely frozen.
look inward as deep as possible, because the life source is not very far away. It is just in your empty heart. An absolute concentrated look into being, and you have encountered your Buddhahood. Your very life source is also the life source of the whole universe. Deeper and deeper, so that you can gather the inner experience and can bring it out in your daily life. Slowly, slowly your Buddha has to become your very expression, your very life style. Nivedano, let's go. Just be a watcher. The mind is there, the body is there, but you are not the body and you are not the mind. You are just the watcher. This watcher is called the Buddha. Watching, witnessing, silently, your heart becomes empty. And the empty heart is the Buddha. Let it sink deep in every fiber of your being. This is the most precious moment. When you are just a witness and a tremendous silence surrounds you, it is a great, blissful evening. Your recognition of your Buddha nature and your recognition that you are one with the whole. There are not 10,000 Buddhas here, but just one consciousness. Nivedana, come back, but come back not the way you had gone in. Come back more gracefully, more peacefully, more like a Buddha. Sit down for a few moments to recollect the experience, to remember the space you have gone, to remember the path that you have followed. And whatever you have experienced in your witnessing is going to affect and change your 24-hour life. Unless meditation becomes a revolution of your whole character, it is not meditation. Meditation liberates you from yourself and brings a new original face we have named the Buddha. Remember in your day-to-day work who you are. Let your inside affect your activities, your gestures, your language, your relations. Manika?
Yes, of course.
Can we celebrate the 10,000 Buddhas?
Yes, of course.